Mother Yasoda looking inside Krishna's mouth and seeing the universe. There's many things that come before the chapter. Maybe I should do a review just to get everybody focused. It takes a while to focus, right? Chapter 8. A big part of chapter 8 is the Namakarana ceremony and becomes very important later. There's 8 verses where Gargamuni is indicating to Nanda Maharaj who Krishna is. And he does it in a very fantastic way. He discloses, but he doesn't disclose. He's respecting the mood of the Maharaj, who thinks of Krishna as his son, knowing fully that he's the personality of Godhead, not just the son. And it turns out that residents of Vrindavan came to know, everybody lived with the idea of this is before Krishna was 45 days old. That's when the Namakarna
supposed to happen. So for the rest of his life, they understood him in the way that Kargamuni described. And then they went back. They went back means this was done in Mathura. So Nanda Maharaj went back to Vrindavan and they had a big festival. Celebration with the brahmanas and this and that. And he's a little baby. And prior to this event, prior to his Namakarana, there were two demons killed, Putana and Shakatasura, then name-giving. And then Krishna's childhood pastimes. His childhood pastimes grew from learning to crawl, and it's really fantastic. All these pastimes are really fantastic. He and Balaram were nearly the same age, and there's a whole story on how that happened, but nearly the same age, and so they were crawling at the same time. So they were crawling in zigzag fashion using their hands and their knees. And everyone was fascinated watching them. They would crawl out into the yard and people would pass by. Just, they were in awe and in love with Krishna, just seeing this, you know how people are with children, but this is Krishna. And they're these pure devotees. So it was, goes through the men, then Krishna, while still crawling, he learned how to pull on the tails of the calves when they were reclined. The calves would become stuck, they stand up, and they start to run, and Krishna would hold on to their tail, and they get dragged all through the pasturing ground, and some ladies would laugh, and some would be startled, oh, how is he going to be safe, and some would, it was stirring the emotions, parental affection, vatsalya, of the men and the women. And then being a precocious little boy, long before children began to walk, he began to walk, the, you know, toddle, and there's a description of how that looked like. He would take a few steps and tumble, and Mother DeSoto would embrace him and do what mothers do. And then he would take a couple more steps. He would turn and then run towards her. You know, all those things that parents and children, so it's their happiness. And our acharyas is not in the Bhagavatam, but they describe teaching Krishna to talk. So all these little pastimes. And then he learned to toddle. And as soon as he learned to toddle, he was all over the place. And as much as your Leela described, and on and on, you know, pages and pages of what he would do. And then the ladies would come to the Yashoda and complain, but lovingly and laughingly, not like the other kind of complaining. And they described what he did, and Mother Yashoda said, well, why did, you know, what about this, and what about that? And so it was, the acharyas explain, it's important for the next part of what happens, that Krishna wanted Mother Yashoda to scold him. It wasn't like most children don't want that, but he wanted that. But he was doing in such a way that she didn't. The ladies are in the house saying, this boy did these things, those things, and Krishna's looking very fearful. His eyes are moving this way, that way, trembling. And Mother Yashoda said, why do you do these things? And just embraced him. So then he decided he would do something he would get scolded for. That's it, when he ate dirt. This is all chapter 8. So whether he is, no. That's a COVID rule. No parallels. It's true what he said. They're liars. I'm not eating dirt. I gave you so many sweetmeats at home, and there's more there, and you love sweetmeats, and why'd you go somewhere remote place and eat dirt? He said, I didn't eat dirt. And if you don't believe me, look inside my mouth. So she looked inside his mouth, and she saw what she saw. And it's a very detailed description. Very detailed description of what she saw. And it resembles, in terms of what she saw, it resembles what Brahma saw in the Brahma Vimoha Lila. It resembles what Brahma saw in Canto 2, Chapter 9. The spiritual world and all of the energies of the Supreme Lord, she saw all of that. The whole, aside from the planets and the mountains and the rivers and the trees and species of life, she saw the mind, and she saw intelligence, and she saw, you know, all kinds of subtle things. She saw. She had the eyes to see, and then so she went through different stages after she saw. Who is he? That's one of the first things that happens. First, it was, am I dreaming? No, I'm not dreaming. Is this an arrangement of the demigods to delude me? No, the demigods wouldn't bother with me. I'm an insignificant person. Am I deranged? No, I'm not deranged. Maybe this is one of the powers that Gargamuni invested, said that Narayan has invested in my son. He'll have powers like Narayan. Maybe that's it. And while she was going on like that, she describes his divinity, or she's describing the divinity of the personality of God who has invested powers in him, and the conclusion of that is, please protect my son. Lord Narayan, please protect my son. And then she goes another verse, like all this elaborate commentary on these verses, she speaks about detachment. I think that he's my son. I think that Nanda Maharaj is my husband. I think I'm the queen of Raja and all these other Brijvasis and their cows and everything. I'm the ruler of them. And, you know, she deprecates herself and gives up. And I just want to take shelter of the personality of Godhead. So, and then in conclusion, she just becomes motherly towards Krishna. And then Shukadeva Goswami speaks, saying in their sequence, rather than going through the detail, this part of the Vedas, that 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 part of the Vedas, take one through more and more and more elevated regard for the Lord. But Mother Jasoda simply saw him as her son. So then, hearing all this, this is, you know, Shukadeva Goswami is ecstatic, describing the love of Mother Jasoda. So then, Parikshit Maharaj exclaims, wow, what kinds of austerities and sacrifices and purification did Nanda and Jasoda undergo to achieve this good fortune of having such love for Krishna like they have? And the question, our acharyas say, one of the questions behind his question is, can a living entity become Nanda and Jasoda? And the answer is no. But the answer that's given by Shukadeva Goswami sounds like a yes. he starts to explain about Drona and Dara. So is anyone here not familiar with who Drona and Dara are? Should I explain? Do you know who they are? Little idea?
Little idea.
Little idea. So we're going to go through that just now.
So Shukadeva Goswami says, "Oh Parikshit, although you know about Nanda and Yashoda, who are famous in scriptures as Nichasiddhas, in answer to your casual question," this is the one we're talking about just now, "about their austerities in previous lives, I told the story of Drona and Dara, who are very small expansions of Nanda and Yashoda." Okay, so I'm going to read some things, and it's kind of like complex, but listen, because there's four different references, and you'll get it by the time we finish them. Let's start with Jiva Goswami in his Krishna Sandarbha. You know what Krishna Sandarbha is, right? Anyone not know? You don't know. One of the commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam that Jiva Goswami wrote is called the Sandarbhas. There's six of them. And it starts with, the first one is Tattva Sandarbha, and that's the Vedas are the source of all knowledge of truth, and foremost of all the Srimad Bhagavatam. And then the next three out of six are Paramatma Sandarbha, Bhagavat Sandarbha, and Krishna Sandarbha. These are expansions of Krishna, the Paramatma expansion, the Bhagavan expansion, and then the original form of the Lord, Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. That's what Krishna Sandarbha is. It's all about Krishna. That number five is Abhideya, it's Bhakti Sandarbha. And the last one is Prayojana. So Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. Your sister getting it? You got it. Okay. Little body language will help me know if I'm getting through, if I need to go slower or something. So this is Krishna Sandarbha. And Jiva Goswami is explaining the truths about Krishna, specifically Swayam Bhagavan Krishna in Braja. That's really nice. This is texts 151 through 153 from Krishna Sandarbha, just some passages. Drona and Dara were Aṃsas. Aṃsas are partial expansions, small. Vibhu and Anu. Vibhinaṃsa and Aṃsa. Drona and Dara were Aṃsas of Nanda and Yashoda, and merged into them when they appeared on earth with Krishna. Just stay with it, it'll be clear. It is correctly said that Krishna's relationship with Nanda and Yashoda is eternal. You can't become Nanda and Yashoda. Thus, the verses in chapter 9 until text 20 negate the story of Drona and Dara in the previous chapter 8, since it is not proper to insist on a previous statement which is contradictory to a later statement. That's a Vedanta Sutra rule. We'll hear some more. The description of the eternal parenthood of Nanda and Yashoda, which is in chapter 9, that's the Damodara Lila, is given after the description of the previous birth as Drona and Dara, which was what we're discussing in chapter 8. If there are two contradictory statements in the scriptures, the second statement should be accepted and the previous statement should be interpreted so that it does not contradict the later statement.
this rule of interpretation is expressed in the Vedanta Sutra, and he gives the sutra. The truth is that Drona and Dara are partial expansions or Ankshat avatar of Nanda and Jasoda, Krishna's eternal parents in the spiritual world. That's Nanda and Jasoda. Nanda and Jasoda descended to this material world, that is, they went from their uprakat to the prakat feature. They're in the eternally existing in Krishna's pastimes. They made their appearance in this material world, just as the Lord himself did in order to explain his pastimes on earth. Okay, that's little short statements. Here's now a more expanded version. This is Garga Samhita. Garga Samhita. Once the partial expansions of Nanda and Yasoda appeared in Swarga as the demigods Drona and Dara. Drona was one of the eight Vasus, and as a great devotee of Lord Vishnu, he ruled a kingdom in heaven. So Bhishma was a Vasu also, before becoming Bhishma. So Drona was a Vasu also. Because they, this couple, were childless, Drona and Dara went to Mount Mandara and implored Lord Brahma to give them the Supreme Lord as their son. Pretty big request. Lord Brahma smiled and assured them that their desire would be fulfilled. When the time came for Krishna's prakat lila on earth, Drona and Dara appeared in Gokula in accordance with their previous desire. However, Krishna's eternal parents, Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, who were the original counter holes of Drona and Dara, that is, Drona and Dara were expansions, partial. So that's the counter whole of Drona and Dara, had also appeared in Prakat Braja, as they always do upon Krishna's descent. Thus, Drona entered the body of Nanda Maharaj, and Dara entered the body of Yashoda Devi. In this way, when Krishna was finally born, Drona and Dara were able to share the bliss of being his parents. So here's like a little summary. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, who were fortunate enough to enjoy the childhood pastimes of Krishna in his Prakat Lila, were the combined form of two sets of personalities. What's that? Eternal parents of Krishna within Goloka, Nanda and Yashoda, as well as the partial expansions of those personalities from Swarga, Drona and Dara. Got it? You think so? Okay, we'll do it one more time. This is Gopal Champu. Gopal Champu is another writing of Jiva Goswami. And what Gopal Champu is a particular literary form. Champu is a particular literary form describing Krishna's pastimes in Braja. So, here's a section. And we'll go over it again and see if you have questions. Accompanied by his wife, Parjanya came to Vrindavan. Parjanya is the father, Nanda, Upananda, and three other brothers. Parjanya Maharaj. then, standing in Nanda's assembly, as Bhishma stood in the assembly of wonderful fighters, Upananda affirmed that his own name meant, quote, the follower of Nanda, Upananda. Accepting Upananda's words, Nanda accepted everyone there as his eternal subjects. This was giving the throne to one of his sons. The eldest son was Upananda. Upananda said, it's Nanda. And Nanda accepted. He ruled over them and protected them. Nanda's actions were wonderful. Nanda was always respectful to his father. In his country, religion was never in distress. In his country, prosperity was never crippled. In his country, prosperity always grew more and more. Everyone in Braja lived at the height of prosperity. Still, one worry gradually blossomed among them. Guess what? Doesn't have any children. Our king, who is more dear to us than life, has no children, they thought. In the course of time, the worry troubled Upananda and everyone else. Then, Nanda and Yashoda, the rulers of Raja, became overwhelmed with the desire for a child. As time passed, that desire grew stronger and stronger. So this is in Gopal Champu, there's a narrator and a person hearing their narration. And it's two brothers. And one is named Madhukanta, he's the elder. And the younger brother is Snigdhakanta, so that's the back and forth. But Madhukanta said, Snigdhakanta said, why did Nanda's friends and kinsmen not perform a yajna to give Nanda children? Why were intelligent Nanda and Yashoda so upset that they had no children? They were already king and queen of Raja. Why did they yearn for children? Why did that desire become stronger and stronger as time passed? Madhukanta's answer. Many yajnas were performed, but it brought no result. Snigdhakanta, why? Why was there no result? Madhukanta said, in private, glorious Nanda and Yashoda spoke about this. Nanda said, my dear wife, why do my grief-stricken relatives perform yajnas and other ceremonies so I may have children? My heart yearns to have a glorious son. Why is that desire not fulfilled? My heart cannot say. If merciful Lord Narayana, who is attained by the followers of the Vedas, is kind to me, I will then certainly have a glorious child. Perhaps my desire is like a Parijata flower which fools imagine to float in the sky. Then without speaking, Snigdhakanta thought to himself, Krishna is more sweet and charming than Lord Narayana himself. It is not wrong to say like this. The truth is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Quotes of Bhagavatam verse 3, 2, 12. This is Uddhava speaking about Krishna. Quote, the Lord appeared in the mortal world by his internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in his eternal form, which is just suitable for his pastimes. These pastimes are wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord himself in the form as Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus he, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, is the ornament of all ornaments. That's Uddhava. Then Snigdhakanta said, and then? Madhukanta said, then Yashoda, Nanda's beautiful wife, said, what reply can I give you? Then Nanda said, I see a dark boy with large restless eyes. I see him playing, and I see him sitting on your lap, and I see him drinking milk from your breast. When I see him, am I dreaming or am I awake? I do not know. Oh, saintly wife, please tell me the truth. Do you also see him in your heart? Yashoda said, oh, glorious husband, I have also seen this child in my thoughts, but I was too shy to tell you. This desire can never be attained. We should not keep it in our hearts. Nanda said, although it is my destiny to be childless, I will take shelter of the glorious Lord Narayana, the controller of the worlds. With his help, my desire will be fulfilled. This I know. What has never been seen or heard of before can take place before everyone's eyes. He can do any impossible deed. Yashoda said, O Master, we should serve Lord Narayana. Nanda said, good. What service shall we perform? Yashoda said, we could follow the Dwadasi Vrata. Nanda happily said, what you have said is good. The desire to follow this vow has now sprouted in my heart. We shall follow it. When the two of them decided in this way, the demigods made a great sound of dundubi drums, a sound that filled all directions. Hearing this description, his thoughts and desires, Nanda felt his heart melt. And then he gave some gifts to the poets, as did Yashoda. Snigdhakanta said, what happened then? Madhukanta said, when Nanda and Yashoda had passed a year of following this vow, similar to Rajambri's, right? The Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared before them, both in their dreams. He said, oh, devotees very attached to me, why are you so troubled? A delicate boy, dark and glorious like an atasi flower, will become your son. You will be able to gaze on him always to increase your love for him. This boy becomes your son kalpa after kalpa. Then, listen carefully. Following my order, you appeared in your Angsakala forms as Drona and Dara in the world of the demigods. To fulfill that which others cannot attain, you took birth on earth in this same place, Raja, a place glorified in Srimad Bhagavatam. It quotes Brahma's prayers, chapter 14. Please know that your glorious desires will soon be fulfilled. After speaking these words, the glorious Supreme Personality of Godhead at once disappeared. Suddenly awakening, Nanda and Yashoda became as if plunged in an ocean of nectar, telling each other what they had seen. They were filled with wonder. In his heart, Snigdhakanta thought, now my questions are answered. When he said, you too will attain him as your son. That is what Supreme Lord meant. That is what Garga Muni meant when he said, 10:8:14, for many reasons, this beautiful son of yours sometimes appeared previously as a son of Vasudev. Therefore, those who are learned call this child Vasudeva. So that's Drona and so
yeah.
In this whole narration, Lord Narayana instructed Nanda and Yashoda to make partial expansions of themselves to be situated in the heavenly realm. That's who Drona and Dara are. And not like every cycle of yugas when Krishna appears in Vrindavan, but at least this one that's being spoken of here, Drona and Dara were given the privilege, their partial expansions, to enter into the body of Nanda and Yashoda and take part in Krishna's pastimes as mother and father. Then there's another important detail that we've been reading about, where acharyas point to the Padma Purana. It's a little, you have to listen to the detail carefully. After Krishna killed Shishupal, what happened?
Shishupal merged into Krishna.
Yeah, and then after Shishupal's gone, then what? Dantavakra. For those are the two, Jai Vijay, not Kamsa, but Shishupal and Dantavakra. So Dantavakra was killed. And Padma Purana describes, after killing Dantavakra, Krishna crossed the river Jamuna and entered Braja in his Braja attire, because he was wearing kingly or princely or regal attire. So he did a costume change and went to Braja and spent some cases, it says, 2 or 3 months. And while he was there, he pacified everybody because they were feeling so much separation. And then what he didn't want was that they would undergo the same separation, because he had to go back to Dwarka. So he did 3 things. It's repeated over and over and over in the commentaries. The Prakat Lila went into an Aprakat mode. The pastimes are over. The Prakat pastimes in Vrindavan. Second, he arranged for a Vimana to come and take all the residents of Braja in their Prakat form to Goloka. And Krishna went with them. And the third thing he did was, in another expansion of himself, he went back to Dwarka to wind up with the Dwarka pastimes. So the 3 things, he entered with them into Aprakat Lila, the Prakat forms went to the spiritual realm in Goloka, and he returned to Dwarka to wind up his pastimes. So along, when that took place, the partial expansions, because in Lagu Bhagavatamrita, yes, no, maybe. Yes? Lagu Bhagavatamrita, I'll explain. It's a book written by Rupa Goswami. And the whole book, it's like, BBT has published it with commentaries that thick. And it's all about avatars of the personality of Godhead. So in that Lagu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, it explains that in Canto 10, Chapter 1, Brahma instructed the demigods that they should take birth on earth. Partial expansions of them took birth on earth, to assist Krishna's pastimes. That was the Drona and Dara. But also others, partial expansions of, they didn't like vacate their post and hang a sign out said, you know, till lunch, we'll be back when Krishna's pastimes are over. So the partial expansions of them entered into different entities. So Krishna sent those demigods back, the partial expansions back. Drona and Dara went back, and there's other ones that went back. Lago Bhagavatamrita explains, Rupa. He says it in a text, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary on the text. So it's all consistent. Demigods take birth on earth, but it's partial expansions of those demigods. And specifically, Drona and Dara are partial expansions of Nanda and Yashoda, so partial expansions of them. They didn't vacate also. And then they returned. And that event of their returning was Krishna going back to Braja for the 2 to 3 months and winding up everything. First pacifying their hearts, and then making everything ready to conclude his pastimes. So back to the flow. This is text 46. Maharaj Parikshit goes, wow. Nanda Yashoda, they're a superlative. So how'd they become Nanda Yashoda? So Shukadeva Goswami tells this description is coming up during this visit. We'll hear more about Drona and Dara. And that's concludes chapter 8. The beginning of chapter 9, it's a Damodar Leela. And Maharaj Parikshit goes, wait a minute. Nanda Yashoda, they're Nityasiddhas. They're eternally Krishna's mother and father. But though he asked the question, can someone become? Now it's like, so this chapter 8 and chapter 9 are the glories of Yashoda. It's with the glories of Krishna, but Krishna's loving attraction due to the love of Mother Yashoda, and the super excellent love of Mother Yashoda. And there's details and details and details about the other ladies, the other elder gopis in Braja. They also fed Krishna their breast milk for 1 year when Krishna assumed the form of their child, their son. But that Mother Yashoda was all the time, including that 1 year. She's special, and again, the comparing Mother Yashoda to Devaki, and you can't compare anybody to Mother Yashoda. Love of Mother Yashoda is superlative. So she's being honored in chapters 8 and chapter 9 in that way. So the Damodar Leela is how much love Mother Yashoda has, and the details and details and details. One other thing, then we're going to go on reading. One other thing is, those of you that like to read Prabhupada's books, you know that the writings of Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion cover Vaidhi, Bhava, and Prema Bhakti. Vaidhi Bhakti, Bhava Bhakti, and Prema Bhakti. And in Vaidhi Bhakti, there's two divisions. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. So Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti includes follow all the vidhis of Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and at the same time cultivate whatever it is when one becomes mature enough to become naturally, not something artificially, naturally attracted to one of the associates of Vrindavan or one of the moods of love in Vrindavan, and meditate upon those ragatmika bhaktas, the eternal nityasiddhas, including what Mother Yashoda did, what she wore, the flowers in her hair, what she spoke, her mood, that this and that. So this is stimulation for raga bhakti for those who have natural affinity for vatsalya rasa. these chapters are like that. So here's now commentary covering this verse. So it's the question of Maharishi Parikshit in this verse is what kinds of austerities and means of purification did they undergo to come to this position? And commentary is now from chapter 5. Reference to this verse comes in chapter 5, the first two verses of chapter 5, canto 10. Shukadeva Goswami said, when Krishna appeared as his son, Nanda Maharaj, fully devoted, was overwhelmed by jubilation. After bathing and purifying himself and dressing properly, he invited brahmanas who knew how to recite Vedic mantras. After having these qualified brahmanas recite auspicious Vedic hymns, he arranged to have the Vedic birth ceremony celebrated for his newborn child, according to the rules and regulations. And he also arranged for worship of the devatas and forefathers. Unquote. This verse illustrates how Nanda's name really means, quote, he who gives joy to the universe. In case you're wondering what Nanda's name means. The word to in this verse of chapter 5, which means but, indicates that the fortune of Nanda, with his pure parental affection, was superior to that of Vasudeva, who had conceptions of Krishna's powers. In other words, this was elaborately discussed about Jasoda. When Krishna appeared in the prison house of Kamsa, they both offered prayers and prayers and prayers. When Krishna appeared in the home of Nanda Jasoda, no prayers. They just saw him as son. This description continues until verse 19. Parikshit also praises Nanda in two verses. Here's one of them. Oh, learned Brahmana, Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Lord. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection in ecstatic love? That's 46. That's our verse for this evening. And then tomorrow's verse, or next verse. Although Krishna was so pleased with Vasudeva and Devaki that he descended as their son, he could not enjoy Krishna's magnanimous childhood pastimes, which are so great that simply by chanting about them, one vanquishes the contamination of the material world. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, however, enjoyed these pastimes fully, and therefore their position is always better than that of Vasudeva and Devaki. That's Parikshit speaking to Shukadeva. The word Atmaja with Utpane can only mean born as his son. The words must be connected sensibly. It was said, quoting Canto 10, Chapter 2, this is in their prayers, Vasudeva and Devaki's prayers. Thus the Supreme Lord, who is the supersoul of all living entities and who vanquishes all the fears of the devotees, entered the mind of Vasudeva in full opulence, and then thereafter accompanied by plenary expansions, the fully opulent Supreme Lord, who is all auspicious for the entire universe, was transferred from the mind of Vasudeva to the mind of Devaki. Devaki became beautiful by carrying Krishna joy to all beings, appearing as their own sun, just as the east becomes beautiful by carrying the rising moon. Commentary says, in this manner, Krishna appeared in Nanda and Jasoda as well. Referring to Vasudeva Devaki. For the Lord to appear as the highest goal, complete absorption in the Lord is necessary with intense prema, as the following quotations illustrate. Here's the one of our favorite ones in ISKCON. Yasya Devi Kara Bhaktir Tata Devi Tata Garo. The meaning of scripture is revealed to the person who has devotion to Guru as much as he has devotion to the Supreme Lord. Bhakti, commentary says, bhakti brings one to the Lord and shows the Lord. Brahma Sutra 3358, commentary of Madhva, reads as follows, gives the Sanskrit. Only by bhakti with full faith can the devotees obtain me. This is shown in Narada's previous life and the histories of Dhruva and Prahlad. According to the logic of Tat Kratu Nyaya, one thinks what one thinks one becomes. Similarly, Gita says, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Thus, a particular manifestation of the Lord will depend upon a particular type of worship. Nanda and Yashoda's particular type of bhakti will be described in Brahma's praises later. That's chapter 14. His prayers. Nanda is described as Mahamana, that is, one whose mind was in Krishna to an extreme degree. Or it can mean one whose mind fully capable of meditating on Krishna. And in the fifth canto, chapter 18, this is in the, I believe it's in the Purana Rupa section, or Vedic cosmology. The devas constantly dwell with all good qualities in that person who has pure bhakti for the Lord. There are no good qualities in the non-devotee who chases after temporary material objects with desire for material pleasure. According to this statement, Nanda's absorption in Krishna was his main quality, and all other qualities like generosity were included within it. The description also represents the nature of Yashoda. And that's now in this text 46 that we're reading. Oh, learned Brahmana, this is Prikshit to Shukadeva. Mother Yashoda's breast milk was sucked by the Supreme Lord. What past auspicious activities did she and Nanda Maharaj perform to achieve such perfection? An ecstatic love. Though both Nanda and Yashoda and Vasudeva and Devaki gave birth to Krishna, one can judge the nature of the cause by the results. He gives this several times. Give this. Palena, pala, karanam, anumiyate. You understand the cause of something by the fruit of that something. So are you, let's do it anyways, because there may be some people watching don't know. There's a very, it's not commonly spoken about, but it's explained in the scriptures, and our acharyas refer to it. Krishna simultaneously had two births. One, from the womb of Devaki. Two, from the womb of Yashoda. Simultaneously. You're aware? Is that a yes or no, or you don't know? You think so? You're not sure?
Yes.
Yes, you're aware.
Okay, thanks. The description goes like this. Mother Yashoda gave birth to twins. And when Vasudeva came carrying Krishna to place Krishna by the side of Yashoda, Vasudeva Krishna entered into the body of Swayam Bhagavan Krishna, her son. And then he took the female child and took that female child back to the prison house of Kamsa. So they both gave birth, but the nature of the cause, the kind of affection they had, was different. The love of Braja, the love of Nanda and Yashoda, is not the same. Although they considered themselves the best of friends. They're more than friends. They were, we'll go into it. Shurasena was Vasudeva's father, right? Shurasena? Shurasena had other children. One of those children was Kunti. Partha, but given to Kunti Bhoja as a daughter, then he became Kunti. So, Shurasena, Vasudeva, Kunti, and Vasudeva had a brother, Deva Bhaga. Deva Bhaga was Vasudeva's brother who had a son named Uddhava. So Uddhava was first cousin, just like Arjuna was first cousin. So they're not just friends, but they're, you know, directly related. Stepbrothers, I guess you could say. Same father, sure. So the wife determined. So he had Shurasena had a Vaishya wife, and so they were born that way. Parjanya, right? Shurasena. Parjanya was the father, Nanda was the son. I'm confused. I'll sort it out later. Anyway, best of friends. The word being born, unquote, unquote, describes an external appearance. The Lord is never born like a material person. This aspect was the same in both couples, but there is a difference in his appearing as their son. He appeared to Nanda and Yashoda in the form of their son. But he did not appear in the manner, in this manner, to Vasudeva and Devaki for him. That was suitable because Nanda and Yashoda's love was pure parental affection and was very strong. That is indicated by the word two in the present verse. Then it will also be shown. However, Vasudeva and Devaki were covered by knowledge of the Lord's greatness. This is revealed in their previous statement. So from their prayers. I know you directly as the Supreme Person beyond material existence, as the impersonal Brahman, as Paramatma and Bhagavan. Pretty clear. Without that parental affection, the Lord cannot be called the Son. Varaha came from Brahma's nostril, but is not called the Son. Krishna came out of Uttara's womb after protecting Parikshit, but is not called her son. Similarly, Vasudev and Devaki did not regard the four-armed form as their son. However, Krishna appeared with all his expansions as the son of Nanda. This conception is shown in Nanda's actions as he called the brahmanas to perform ceremonies. Garga also states that Krishna is principally Nanda's son. When he said, it gives the Sanskrit, previously he was sometimes the son of Vasudeva. Brahma also praises Krishna as saying, Pashupangayaya, I offer respects to Krishna, born from the body of the cowherd Nanda. That's the first of his prayers. 10.14.1. Krishna, Sukadeva describes Krishna as Gopika Sutta, son of Yashoda. Also it is said from Gautamiya Tantra, Krishna, the son of Nanda, is auspiciousness for the whole world. They're making a case, like lawyers, right? This verse says, Atmaja Upane, when the son was born. It does not say when Nanda thought of him as a son. Therefore, the birth of Maya from Yashoda was for deceiving Vasudeva, produced by Krishna's potency. Maya, that's Yoga Maya, stayed in Yashoda's womb and Krishna stayed in her heart. Thus, because Yashoda was the mother of both children, Maya is called Krishna's younger sister. 10.4.9, Canto 10, Chapter 4. When Devaki desired that he cover his four-armed form, the two-armed form residing in Yashoda's heart then covered that four-armed form and appeared in front of her. Far out, huh? Though Garga said, quote, Garga Rishi said, previously he was the son of Vasudeva. He resolves the issue by then saying, your son has been born with many forms and many names previously. That's chapter 8. Parentheses. He was the son of Vasudeva in previous yugas. Thus Garga's words, as well as Nanda and Yashoda's recognition of Krishna as their son, and the statements of scripture, establish that Krishna is principally the son of Nanda and Yashoda. Nanda and Yashoda accepted that Maya was created by Krishna for deception, while Vasudeva and Devaki accepted Maya as Yashoda's real child, and therefore embraced her when Kamsa tried to snatch her away. We're getting lots of intricate, subtle, nuanced details here. It goes on. Fixed in this truth, the couple thought, we'll broadcast it with a festival. With the birth of a son, Nanda became joyful. Not only was a son born, but joy was born. Joy was born on the pretext of the son. It appeared spontaneously with the appearance of the son. This indicates the deep nature of their bliss. This became the cause of great festival. He called the viparas, those who can excellently fulfill all desires. They were knowledgeable of the birthrites and rules of the Vedas. Shruti says, here's the Sanskrit, all the devas reside in the brahmana, having knowledge of the Vedas. He purified himself with asmana and Vaishnav tila. He had the brahmanas chant mantras like bhuyas tapi tvapi, and performed the ceremony for giving intelligence to his son, karmapalam prayoktari. The result of action goes to the performer. They performed the ceremonies according to the rules. They had performed worship of the Pitris. Nanda did not perform the Nandi Mukha Shraddha personally, which is the custom, since he was stunned with bliss. They had to perform those rites because he was repeatedly stunned. Okay, that's it. You probably never thought that the pastimes of Krishna's childhood activities would be so involved. And, you know, it's certainly sufficient to just read them from Krishna book and go, Hari Bol. But Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us the graduate, then postgraduate and detailed study. It reminds me a little bit, reminds me of Prabhupada's very simple statement that all religions of the world say God is great, but how great he is, they do not know. And God being the source of everything, that's a truth. And how it works that he's the source of everything. I mean, so many. Like, the Genesis explanation of creation is so simple. In 7 days, everything was done. And then he rested. And then, you know, the Bhagavatam explanation is so detailed and detailed and detailed and detailed and detailed. And it's all resting on his energy, and then he maintains it, and then he withdraws it. It stays for some time, then he does it again. And how time works, and how the different elements, so it's so involved. It's a profound science. And then that's just the mature creation. And then, so this one verse where it says, but Mother Jasoda just saw him as son. So he who, this is Shukadeva Goswami speaking in his exaltation and spontaneous glorification of Yashodhara. The Supreme Lord is understood in different ways through different Vedic sources. This and this and this and this and this. The mother just, Yashoda, just saw him as her son. So the you know, the this and this and this, even seeing him as her son, how is she compared to others, and how did he take his birth, and what did Vasudev do, and what was he thinking? It's so elaborate. What the Bhagavatam is doing by this is it's drawing us, if we're listening attentively, it's drawing us to a real appreciation of the super exalted nature of Braja Prem. And by going on and hearing and going on and hearing and going on and hearing, there's purification on that side and there's attraction on the other side. It's what Lord Chaitanya's teaching, along with chanting of the holy name, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, that carry us to Braja Prem. Everything is there in the name, and then to support and to expand and the pastimes of Krishna, name, form, qualities, pastimes, paraphernalia, entourage, his abode. It's all part of this process that Bhakti Chaitanya gave. And just say two things, and I've been sharing this, that someone pointed out to me, I didn't know. Sanatana Goswami, in addition to writing Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and Sanatana Goswami writing commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote 417 verses of praise for Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a lot of verses. Not like an Ashtakam, 417. And I'll send to you a text that has the last five, where he's saying the Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. He loves Krishna, so he loves Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jiva Goswami is, you know, it's becoming more clear to me as I go along with all of this exercise. I'm accustomed to seeing he wrote three commentaries, but actually it's four on Srimad Bhagavatam. One was the verse by verse one, like Prabhupada did, commentary, Krama Sandarbha. And another was specifically just on the 10th canto. It has another name, far more elaborate. And then the Sandarbhas we just mentioned, six of them, is topic by topic. And Gopal Champu is just, we read it. It's just making references here and there and here and there. It's not exactly a commentary. It's a literary form called the Champu. And he's giving another picture of Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam, going through sequentially Krishna's Leela in Braja. Acharyas really love Srimad Bhagavatam. It's easy to understand why they love it. And empowered by Krishna to describe it in the way that they truly describe it. What it would have been like to reside in Vrindavan when the six Goswamis are residing in Vrindavan. Or reside in Puri when Lord Chaitanya was residing in Puri, and the devotees would come and join him. Okay, so let's see if there's any discussion. As I said, let's see if there's something from the room, and then we'll get. Do you have online questions? Do you have a way to read the texts that people send?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Nothing yet.
Nothing yet, but you'll have a way to read it when it comes. Okay.
Guru Maharaj, your appreciation on this, like last statement you made, like how it would have been if we were during Goswami's time. So sometimes I think and say, like, what maybe in 100, 200 years, people might think how it would have been great if you're doing Srila Prabhupada's time.
Mm.
So I think we are all, at least for our generation, we are in the first, although we didn't meet Srila Prabhupada, we were able to associate with direct disciples of Srila Prabhupada. That's why sometimes I think it's kind of, we are part of history kind of a thing.
Very special.
Yeah.
Did you view the Hare Krishna movie?
Yes.
How many times?
About 5-6 times.
Okay, me too.
It kind of
yes.
goes in.
Yeah, definitely. I also shared that to a few of my cousins that gave me an opening to talk about Prabhupada and Hare Krishna movement. People were not so open to discuss, but by sending this movie out to them, they were able to appreciate it. So at least I was able to talk to them. Maharaj, it would be the same thing for Ramachandra, Lord Ramachandra's parents, Dasaratha and Kaushalya also.
Yes. Yes.
They're also eternal associates of Krishna.
They're eternal associates of Lord Ramachandra in Ayodhya. Like Nanda and Jasoda are eternal associates of Krishna in Krishna Loka. That answer your question?
Yes.
Why, I don't know. It's not specifically no misery. That's not the reason. Because the misery is in exists, but it's ecstasy. For such devotees, it's an ecstasy. But there, it looked like misery. Now, here's an example when in chapter 45, I think it is, Uddhava goes back, sent by Krishna, to deliver the message to the gopis, but his first stop is at the home of Nanda and Jasoda, palace of Nanda and Jasoda, and he has interactions with them. So they're not offering prayers, but you know, their mood is expressed. And Uddhava understands differently than they understand. He understands their divinity and he's honoring them. How fortunate you are to have the Supreme Lord as your son, etc., etc. It just bounces. This doesn't go anywhere. He's just absorbed it. So, does Krishna remember us? And, you know, and not speaking about himself and Yashoda, speaking about the residents of Vrindavan and the cows and his home, and has he completely forgotten? So the gopis have some similar ideas in their talks. Radharani talked to the bumblebee, speak like that. So it's not exactly prayers, it's more in a spontaneous mood of expressing their affection for Krishna than for prayers to him. But you know, the reason is their mood, not because they don't feel any distress. They feel distress. Okay. Something more? You gonna say something more? Looks like. Either of you? No?
I have a couple of questions. Some of them are clarification and one of them is application.
Some of them are?
Are clarification questions.
Okay.
And, one of them is application. What the application question has to do with reading Srimad Bhagavatam and like developing a taste for reading. Because what I find is that I like reading books when I'm with devotees who are also reading at the same time. But developing that taste like internally and nurturing that so that I don't have to depend on other people or other devotees reading, I can just do it myself. How does that happen, or how can that naturally come about?
How can anything naturally come about? It can come about by cultivation. I'll say the same thing in a different way. Attraction for Krishna is natural. Supposing we don't have attraction for Krishna, how did we have it come about naturally? By practice, because it's already there. So now, what about me? Because I find this instead of that. So what do? Practice. And, you know, maybe something simply on, you know, down here, I don't have attraction, but I know it's, I have faith in Guru's instruction, and I have faith in Krishna, so I do because I have faith. It's mode of goodness. Mode of goodness says, I do because it's duty, or I do because it's good for me, I do because it will purify me. That's the mode of goodness. Purpose, or incentive, or intention, sankalpa. Keeps me going, because I know it's good for me. And once it's like, you know, when children are small, the parents have to get on the case to clean the room. And once you've gotten used to cleaning your room, you don't like to have your room other than clean, because it's just like, you don't want it any other way. Because you become habit, the things that need to be cleaned, the mode of goodness, etc. So it's natural. It's actually more natural. It's actually a greater happiness than the dependent one. But there's also happiness. There's happiness in both. Happiness in reading alone, happiness in reading together. And when you're reading alone, you discover things, then you share what you've read with somebody after you've... That's what I'm doing. So that, but so many hours are spent reading alone. But it's not just because it's good for me, mode of goodness. The mystery of Krishna is very attractive. When I ask kids, you know, what are you having to read in school? And it's about pirate stories and detective stories and mystery stories and, you know, novels. You know, but teachers like kids to read, so, because it helps them build their vocabulary and so on. But it's not the same. There's a mystery in understanding all these things. I spent the whole, you know, 2 hours from the previous place to here just going through some of these details. something that I'm starting to appreciate, just sharing with you a little bit what keeps me going at it, is how does it fit together with that, fit together with that, fit together with that, and what's the big picture? Because the Bhagavatam is not laid out where it's like an encyclopedia. There's this box, and then close the box, and then there's that box, and everything fits in the box, and you know, it's full, and then you go to the next box. It's not like that. Not linear. It's like, you know, so how do all these things fit together? You know, then going back to the earlier cantos, and it helps to become familiar with the earlier cantos to understand the later cantos. And it's a relationship. Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, is drawing us to Krishna's love, like the Brijabasis have, even when reading about Prahlad, who is a Vaikunthavasi all the way. But it's teaching one of the elements of pure devotion. And if you read carefully, it becomes clear how the message is taking us to pure devotion. Memorizing verses, it has its benefit also, but more important is the capturing the essence. It's like one of the ways in the Bhakti Vriksha training. I don't know what the present model is. I know what it was when I first got involved. Radha Gopal was showing us. You know, it's the facilitator has a pad open or a, you know, notebook open, and they read a paragraph. So, okay, who would like to read this paragraph? And then you spend some time, and the facilitator already knows the answer, but their pen is ready to say, what's the main point of this paragraph? And it's, you know, people say different things, and it teaches them social skills to get consensus. That's not easy to do with people these days. But that's part of the model. Okay, and then here's some secondary points. Okay, so they already know what it is. And they're facilitating the discussion. And, you know, so if it hadn't, like, hit it right on the nail, how does this sound before they write it down? Okay, that's the main point. Here's some secondary points. Here's some cultural points. Okay, next paragraph. You're teaching people how to get the essence. Then you go back, exposition, okay, here I'm going to read out the main point for the first paragraph and secondary points. Who would like to explain it? And then how do you apply it? And then comes questions. So it's like teaching people how to read Prabhupada's books. So you do that, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that. So what's the main point? And one of the ways that will help you is explain it. It's a teaching principle. When you take notes in class, review your notes. So you don't take notes, retention is less. You take notes, retention is more. Review your notes, retention is better. And explain it to somebody, it's the best. So same with, it doesn't have to be, it can be, but it doesn't have to be, okay, this dedicated time I'm going to share with somebody. It can just be how you live your life. It can be, you know, any number of ways. But then the personal involvement gets connected, and then you'll find when you share share something, you go, wow, and I read something over there, and then it becomes the way that you huddle around your the words you use these days as reflections. But, you know, appreciations of what you read. It's kind of like went in. And it's inspiring me, I want to share it.
We have a question from online.
One
question.
Oh, okay.
It's from Archana Vaidya.
Okay.
She asks, were Drona and Dara demigods?
Yes, they were Vasus.
And they became Nanda and Yashoda by benediction of Narayana?
No. They were ordered by Brahma to have an expansion of themselves enter into Nanda and Yashoda, or take birth. But the taking birth was entering into the bodies of Nanda and Yashoda, so they could have the Supreme Lord as their son.
And to finish off her question, or Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj pleased Narayana by observing Dwadashi and got the benediction of having Krishna as their son?
Well, they observed Ekadasi and Dwadashi breaking the fast anyways, just like we do. I mean, it's for her sake, it should be remembered that unlike others, Nanda and Yashoda didn't have to undergo anything. They did not have to undergo anything. They're eternally mother and father. They didn't do some austerities and then become Krishna's mother and father. They're eternally that. That's repeated over and over. Whereas Yashoda and Nanda, Vasudeva and Devaki was told, as Sutapa and Prishni, so many austerities and so forth and so on. Kardamoni. Yes. So to achieve the personality God had as their son, they didn't have to do anything. But they were thinking, oh, there's no son, so we need to worship Lord Narayana. So when were the best? Well, there's a nice, oh, okay, that's really nice. Okay, yeah.
So does Vasudeva and Devaki also have, in the Goloka, they have, I mean, are they Nanda and Yashoda's amshas by any chance, or are they, because they also...
No. No. I just read it on the point. So Lagu Bhagavatamrita speaks, as I said, I'll just do it again. Canto 10, Chapter 1, Krishna is going to appear. So Brahma turns to the demigods and says, take birth on earth first. So their partial expansions come. And Rupa Goswami makes reference to that and says, and therefore under the order of Brahma, some of the demigods' partial expansions came. And he mentions the name of who in the heavenly realm, one of the personalities. It's in my computer. They also, a partial expansion of them entered into Vasudeva. And then it specifically says into the cows and into the entities that are Krishna's eternal associates to assist Krishna. So they're getting the benefit of participating in Krishna's pastimes and assisting him intimately in his pastimes. So it's but that doesn't address your question. Your question is, are Vasudeva and Devaki somehow Angsas of Nanda and Jashoda. And there's no indication of that.
So does Vasudeva and Devaki has any position in the spiritual world? Just like, I mean, all associates, we say that they are such
and such. In order to answer a question like this, there has to be reference from our Acharya, because otherwise it's,
right,
you know, speculation, so we don't do that. I don't recall any indication that they have a position in the spiritual world. No, one could ask the question, what happens after Vasudeva and Devaki finish their lives? Where do they go? I've never heard. I mean, they're quite likely there's some statement that I'm not familiar with. So I just have to say, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody that knows. You know, from the writings of our acharyas, the answer to that question, I don't know. You had a second question.
Yes. So this is the clarification question with Krishna wrapping up his pastimes in Vrindavan. When he wrapped up his pastimes, what happened to Vrindavan?
It went into an uppercut status. That is to say, something the place is still there, but people would not see Krishna's pastimes there. The Dham is there, the personalities that were involved in Krishna's pastimes were not there. Like, you know, what happened when Lord Chaitanya's pastimes were concluded in Navadvipa. His associates were there, some of them literally left, and some of them, of course, in the course of time, they expired, or they left this world, and then it's still the Dham. But the pastimes aren't being displayed in the Dham. And then over a period of time, you know, materialistic people come and do what materialistic people do to places. And there's still some devotion. But like, you know, like when Lord Chaitanya went to Vrindavan, the places of Krishna's pastimes are unknown. And the Goswamis had to reestablish where they are and so forth.
When we talk about it within scripture, and when we talk about it as devotees, when we experience, or we are like striving to experience Vrindavan, is it more like the association of devotees? Is it more figurative?
Is more figurative?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, is Vrindavan, okay.
No, it's not figurative, it's spiritual.
Yes. Like, is it more like of a feeling?
Feeling?
I'm sorry.
It's a spiritual. Elevated devotees can directly see Krishna and his pastimes.
Right.
Because they can enter into the spiritual realm and see Krishna's pastimes.
But in the material world, it only appears whenever Krishna is like physically. I mean, it's always here, but...
It's always there, spiritually.
Right.
Krishna is there, and the associates are there, the pastimes are there, the living exchanges are there. Everything is there.
Right, but we can't see it.
We can't see it.
Okay.
Who's eligible to see it? The answer is when Krishna decides to show... you can see it. And he shows to those who have bhakti, but even those that have bhakti, he doesn't always show it. A specific example is what Krishna showed to the Vrijvasis. He showed them Goloka, but that's his uppercut abode. They're in his prakat abode. They're already there, but they wanted to see the uppercut of both. They didn't use that language, but he took them to a place where they could see, and they saw. Here's two examples from the Goswami's times. Raghunath Das Goswami wrote Dana Keli Kamudi. It's the pastime of the tax pastimes. My bike over downhill, the detailed whole thing. And he saw it. It's not fiction. It's not Harry Potter. He experienced the pastime, or the pearl pastime. Madhyahari Kund. And he tells the whole story. It's not fiction. He saw it. Or here's another. There wasn't a book written about it, but Janava, around near contemporary also, at that place where she would sit, Janava Vaita, and do her chanting. One day she came back and saw what she explained what she saw. A bridge over Radha Kund. And Radha and Krishna with gopis laughing and playing together on a bridge that no one can see, but she saw. It wasn't creative, you know, hallucination. So there are qualified persons who can see and literally enter into the pastimes with Krishna. And the eligibility is pure bhakti. The entrance into pure bhakti is through a senseless devotional service, starting with hearing. And then when Krishna decides, I will show, then he shows.
How do we understand when devotees say that, you know, they've seen
past times, not like
from our scriptures, but are, I guess, our contemporaries,
in a sense, when they
say
that they have experienced it, or when different devotees, like... Grain of salt.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I know it was offensive to think like that, or if it's like...
Grain of salt. Yeah. What's more important than what they saw is their character. Anyone who has character is not going to go about talking about what they saw. That's what Prabhupada's statement. You know, in the Pando program, someone come up to the microphone. My mother, every night she's, you know, with the deity, and she's playing and singing and seeing and doing. And it's my mother. So, but then Prabhupada was saying that six Goswamis, they never spoke like this. Hey, Radhe, Raja Devi, Kay, Chalai. So they're in this mood of separation, searching where is Krishna now. Now they wrote book, but they didn't go promoting themselves. They saw this, I saw that. It's the nature of
devotion.
Yeah. So, you know, we don't want to make offense at somebody. We also don't want to be gullible and just go, you know, go, go, gaga. You know, just grain of salt. Oh, very nice. Or incense. We're done. Should the Prabhupada
teach? Yeah.
Nice.